Today's scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. Why do you say, Jacob, and declare, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my God ignores my predicament? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow tired or weary. His understanding is beyond human reach, giving power to the tired and reviving the exhausted. Youths will become tired and weary. Young men will certainly stumble. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will fly up on wings like eagles. They will run and not be tired. They will walk and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of God.
I want to thank either Chris or the secretary for putting that eagle on the front of the bulletin this morning, because we will be thinking about the eagle and its importance. This morning I'd have us think together around the theme of living victoriously. Living each day to the very best of our ability, living each day God's way, living each day in God's name. An employee one time of a rather large company was talking with a friend of his, and in the course of the conversation, he made the comment that his job was killing him. He had migraine headaches. His cholesterol was out of sight, couldn't sleep at night. Now they told him he had an ulcer. He said, now the only question is whether I have a heart attack or a stroke. And his friend said to him, well, why don't you quit? And he said, because I have a great health plan. Now it's true, at times in our lives we focus on the pressures that we live under. We focus on the stress that we feel on a daily basis. And we forget to remember that God is present in everything that we're doing, that God can take the challenges that we face and turn them into what? Opportunities? He can take the stress and the pressure that we feel and make us live victoriously. A man one time was listening to some music in his office, and a coworker walked by and really couldn't understand because he'd never heard music in that office. So he stepped inside the office and he asked the man about the music. And the man said, well, it's not ordinary music. It may sound like ordinary music, but it's not ordinary music. Because hidden in the music are subliminal messages. And the coworker said, well, what do the messages say? And the man said, well, they say, you're great. You have it. You can accomplish whatever you want. You're okay. You're more than okay. And the man said to the coworker, you know, ever since I started listening to that music, my life has never been the same. Well, I'll say to you this morning that every time you put your feet on the ground in the morning and get out of bed, God says to you, you're great. You have it. You're okay. You're more than okay. But God adds one more phrase. He adds the phrase, I have your back. You see, every day we have that opportunity to live victoriously even in the midst of the pressures, the challenges, the problems we may be facing. Now that is what Isaiah is trying to say to the people of Israel in the scripture lesson this morning. He says, we have a God who will restore us. A God who will strengthen us when we're weak. Who will give power to us when we're lost. Now, mind you, this is a time in the history of the people of Israel that they're in great peril. The northern kingdom has been destroyed, and the people have been dispersed out into the world. The southern kingdom's hanging on by a shoestring. Only the city of Jerusalem remains. And Isaiah comes to the people and he reminds them that they have a God who will not let them down, a God who will restore them, a God who will allow them to soar like eagles in the sky, that they can run and they won't be weary, they can walk and they won't be weak. Now, Isaiah was talking 700 years before Christ, so it's 2,700 years ago, but those words speak to us today. There are times when we too feel that struggle and need to be reminded that God will restore us if we but have faith, if we but put our trust in Him, that God will allow us to soar like the eagles and run and not even get tired and walk and not ever feel weak. Now, there are two things that I would say to you this morning. The first is simply this: we need to be in the race every single day. Isaiah talks about being in the race. To stay in there, to hang in there, to finish it. I heard one time about a teenager down in North Palm Beach, Florida, who was walked into a McDonald's and he was standing in line and he was talking on his cell phone. He was talking loud enough that those around could hear. And the person who was taking the orders overheard the conversation. And the boy said to the woman on the other end of the line, "I want to be the one to mow your lawn." And the woman responded back, well, I already have someone who does my lawn." And the boy said, "Well, I'll do it for half of what the person who's now doing your lawn is doing it for." And the woman said, "No, I'm satisfied. The person I have is doing a good job, doing a great job. I'm satisfied." And the boy said, "Well, I'll sweep your curbs, I'll sweep your driveway, I'll sweep your walkways. Every week you will have the most beautiful yard in all of North Palm Beach, Florida." And again, the woman responded, "No, I'm happy with the person that I have. I'm truly satisfied." Well, the boy, with a smile on his face, hung up the phone and put it in his pocket. It was his time to order, and the person behind the counter said, "I couldn't help but overhearing your conversation. I applaud your positive spirit. I applaud your attitude. But why the smile? You didn't get the job." And the boy looked at the person across the counter and said, "I was just checking up on the job I already have." Checking up on the job he already had. Now, maybe that's something we need to do every single morning when we wake up. Check on the job that we're doing. Check on our attitude. Check on how we're responding. Check on our spirit. Check on the fact that we're giving to the people around us. And every morning, maybe making a checklist of what we're going to accomplish that day and how we're going to do it. John Neely was the co-founder of a small technology company, Martin Technology, founded back in 1996, some 20 years ago. It has just 40 employees. And through those 20 years, yeah, there have been times that company struggled a bit, had some difficulties. And so one day someone asked John Neely about the fact, how do you handle the business end of the company? And John Neely thought about it for a moment. And then he said, every single morning when I come to the office, I say to myself, I'm going to give my very best today. I'm going to do my very best because there are 40 people who are watching every move I make. Think about it. 40 people who are watching every move he makes. And every time we walk out the front door of our house, there are people who are watching what we do and how we respond to life. Maybe one person, maybe 10, maybe 100. But there are people who are watching how we live. And that we need to so order our life after the example of Jesus Christ that those who see us will know what we're all about. One time there was a really young girl who was having a bad week, kind of like over here. Everything seemed to be going wrong for her. But one day she woke up and things were much better, and her mother noticed it. And so her mother made a comment on how good that day seemed to be for her. And the little girl said back to her mother, yes, yesterday my thoughts controlled me. Today I control my thoughts. Well, that's true. Oftentimes we allow our thoughts to control us. We allow the spirit that we have in that moment or the difficulties or the problems to control us rather than seeing we're in control. We can determine. We can soar like the eagles. We can run and not be weary. There was a record in sports that they said would never be broken. Sports writers said it was the most difficult record in all of sports to break. And yet some 18 years ago, Cal Ripken Jr. broke what was called the Ironman record. He broke Lou Gehrig's 2,130 consecutive straight games of playing baseball. In fact, Cal Ripken Jr. played in every game from May the 30th, 1982, to September the 20th, 1998. 16 years. Without missing one game. Now, Cal Ripken didn't just play in a couple innings. He wasn't the designated hitter. Cal Ripken played in every single game except those that maybe were determined by the end of the game. Now, I'm sure there were days that Cal Ripken woke up and said, not today. Do I have to go out there today? I'm hurt, I'm sore. Just a day off. But not Cal Ripken. He went out every single day. Now, to put that in perspective, the individual with the longest consecutive game streak in the majors today is about 250 games. 15 years short of what Cal Ripken did. Cal Ripken ended up in playing in 2,632 games, 500 more consecutive games than Lou Gehrig did. Now, we watched that night that he tied the record. He hit a home run. But the next night was one of the great moments in all of sports, as he once again broke the record 2,131 games straight. He hit a home run again. And the fans that were there that night gave him a 22-minute standing ovation. 22 minutes. And we watched as he circled the field giving high fives to the fan, watching the sense of humility that came out of him. But also watching the love that he had for the fans that were there and the love that he had for the game of baseball. Cal Ripken grew up in the shadow of the stadium there in Baltimore, Maryland. As a young boy, he wanted to play for the Baltimore Orioles, and his dream came true. He played his entire career for the Baltimore Orioles. He played it with persistence, with tenacity, with conviction, dedication, and commitment. Those are all words that need to be part of who we are. That is, we at times may struggle with what's in front of us or how we're going to deal with a particular day. To know that we can do it with persistence, with tenacity, with conviction, commitment, and dedication. Oh, we need to be in the race every day. Now, the second thing goes right along with it. It matters how we run the race. Not just that we're in the race, but how we run that race. I like the story of a man who announced to his staff that he was going to go on a diet. And the next day he showed up with a large coffee cake in his hand. And his staff said, "We thought you were going on a diet." And he said, "I was, but this morning as I was making my way to work, I passed a bakery, and in the display window there was this beautiful, delicious coffee cake sitting there. And I prayed to God, 'God, if you find me a parking place in front of the bakery, I know you want me to have that coffee cake.'" And he said, sure enough, the eighth time around the block, there was the parking place. At times, we're not intentional in our living, are we? At times, we can get off track. But you and I have a God who challenges us every single day to make our life matter, to make our life worthwhile, to make what we do on a daily basis important. I read about an executive one time that had on his desk a little box. He called it my I Believe It box. He said it's effective. It works. He says it's not a fancy box in any way. In fact, he said it was a box I pulled out, a white box I pulled out of the trash. And he said, I wrote on the outside of that box, "With God, all things are possible," and put it on my desk. And he said, when a day came that I was unable to really come up with the answer that I was searching for, I would write the problem down on a slip of paper, put it in the box, and close the lid and go on with my work. He said, all through the years, there have been a number of things that have been put in that box. He said, a proposal that I just couldn't finish, a budget that just wouldn't work, a financial problem the company was having. He said, once I even put my marriage certificate in there when I was having problems in my marriage. He said, I would leave them in for a week or 2 weeks or a day. But he said, every time I took a slip of paper out, 100% of the time, I had new ideas, new thoughts, new ways of looking at it. He said, oh yeah, once in a while I would have to put a slip back in the paper a second time. But he said, every time I took the slip out, there were the new ideas. There was a way of working through whatever I couldn't work through before. There was a way of accomplishing it. And maybe what you and I need to do is exactly that, isn't it? Have a box that we put on our table or our nightstand. And every time we come up with an issue that we really can't handle in our lives, a challenge that's there, to write it down, put it in the box, and let it go. And to read the words that we've written on the side of that box, "With God, all things are possible," and truly believe them. Because when we open the box and take that slip out, all things do become possible. New ways of looking at a problem are given to us. There's a wonderful story as told of a man down in Athens, Georgia. he was going to take a bus to Greenville, South Carolina. So he went down to the bus depot and he came up to the ticket counter and he asked for a ticket to Greenville, South Carolina. And the ticket taker gave him the ticket and said, "Your bus has been delayed. It's going to be a while before it leaves." So the man decided to walk around the bus depot there, and he came upon a machine that said, "For a dollar, I'll tell you your name, your age, your weight, the place where you live, and other interesting facts about you." Well, I was kind of interested, so he put a dollar in, and out came a card, and it said, "Your name is Bill Jones. You're 35 years of age. You live in Athens, Georgia. You're taking a bus to Greenville, South Carolina, and your bus has been delayed." Well, he was dumbfounded that the machine knew that. So he put another dollar in. Out came the card. The card read, "Well, there you are again. Your name is Bill Jones. You are 35 years of age. You live in Athens, Georgia. You're taking a bus to Greenville, South Carolina, and your bus is still delayed." Well, now he was fascinated by it. So he decided he wanted to trick it. So he went across the street to a toy store, and he bought those glasses with thick eyebrows, and he bought a wig and a hat and a mustache and a cane and an umbrella. And he hobbled up to the machine, and he put the dollar in. Out came the card. "Well, it's you again. You're Bill Jones. You're 35 years of age. You live in Athens, Georgia. You're taking a bus to Greenville, South Carolina. And while you were out goofing around, your bus left." Well, that's true. Sometimes we miss the bus. Sometimes we don't even get on the bus. But every day, my friends, we have a wonderful opportunity to make our lives matter. We have a God who will be with us, who will restore us through our faith, who will take us and let us mount up with wings and fly, live a kind of life we never dreamed that we could live. I close with this. An older woman knew it was time that she was going to have to give up living in her single-family home and go live in a retirement home. And she knew that things were going to be different. She would eat in a dining hall. She would live down the hall. She would spend a great deal of time in a community room. Things would be different. But she knew it was time, and there happened to be a retirement home not far from where she lived, so she made an appointment to go and visited, and she went, and she was met at the door by the director, who took her into his office, and he sat her down, and he began to describe all the amenities that she would have at this home, how happy she would be. He described them in great detail, and after a while, he said, "Now I want to take you, and I want to show you around the home, show you how happy you're going to be." The woman just looked at him, and she said, "Oh, that's not going to be necessary. I've already decided to be happy here." She paused for a moment, and then she went on. She said, "You know, it's not the circumstances that make your life. It's how you deal with the circumstances." That's a great statement. It's not the situations in which we find ourselves that dictate to our lives. It's how we deal with those situations. And in my ministry, I've learned that over and over again. Young people going off to college. Young people getting married. Families being uprooted from one community to another. People who may be going through a problem area of their life, be it a financial or a health issue, are grieving for a lost one. All of them have shown me that with faith, you can overcome mountains. That with faith, all things are possible. You and I need to write that down. We need to write down the words today. I can soar like an eagle. I can run and not be weary. I can walk and not be weak. Amen.